Blog Talk Radio.
Positive people, people.
Economies collapse. Entire nations demand justice and freedom. Will history repeat? Or is this the beginning of a golden age for humanity? And who can point the way forward? My guest today is Dick Larson, who is a Share International volunteer and a student of the Ageless Wisdom teachings. He'll be speaking about the guidance that is ours for the asking from what he describes as being a world leader, and actually a group of world leaders, highly evolved souls, who are guiding humanity, and I take it have been guiding humanity for quite a few centuries behind the scenes, and are prepared to make themselves known in the very near future. Now, some of what Mr. Larson is going to be talking about may seem fantastic, especially for those of us who have lived through many different anticipations of the second coming of Christ and the appearance of saviors. But I would have to say that Mr. Larson impressed me a great deal in this interview. And if even 10% of what he has to say is true, then we have a great cause for hope. Great cause for thinking that we can work together as human beings, transcend our religious and nationalistic boundaries, and work together for the common good to create a world that will not be driven by greed, that will not be driven by fear, but rather a world that will be driven by love, compassion, and a sincere desire to create a better world order, not just for ourselves, but for every living being on this globe. Now, that may seem like a pipe dream, but I tell you what, that's my kind of pipe dream. And it is attainable. All we have to do is set our minds to it, follow the guidance which is all around us, and just open our eyes. This interview that I conducted actually a few nights ago with Dick Larson is recorded, so we won't be able to have callers call in to ask questions of Dick Larson. But I do hope to have a follow-up interview with Dick Larson scheduled sometime in the near future. And that one I will broadcast as a live interview. But for the time being, this is my recorded interview with Dick Larson. And it's a 50-minute audio clip. And I am going to get to it right now. Dick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, hey, sure thing. My guest tonight is Dick Larson, a Share International volunteer and student of the Ageless Wisdom teachings. And tonight we're going to be talking about how do we fix our broken world. And, Dick, I understand you've got some very definite ideas on this, and we'll be getting into that. The world does seem to be in quite a mess. What do you see as the way in which we can help to heal this broken world?
Well, first, if you don't mind, there's a couple of things I'd like to say to your listeners ahead of time, just to kind of get a foundation for what I'm going to say here. And you're right, I am a student of the Ageless Wisdom teachings, which is an ancient philosophy. It's not a religion. Uh-huh. It's an ancient philosophy. It is so old. It's as old as humanity. It has been passed down by word of mouth and then finally in writing. And it's so old that it's said that the major religions of the world are all based on the principles of the Ageless Wisdom in one way or another. So the first thing I'd like to say is that the information that I'm going to be talking about and giving out to your listeners tonight comes from the Ageless Wisdom teachings and the latest revealer of the Ageless Wisdom. There are two latest revealers. One is the woman named Alice A. Bailey, who wrote about 20 books in the 1930s and 40s. They're available all over the place, like on Amazon.com. If somebody wants to start reading her things, I would start with one of the two compilations, which are easier reading, I think. One is called Serving Humanity, and the other one is called, I can't think of it. I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
But most of my information comes from the latest revealer of the Ageless Wisdom, who is a man named Benjamin Kremes, spelled C-R-E-M-E. He lives in London. He's been traveling around the world for over 40 years, giving out the information I'll be giving out tonight. And he's written about 15 books, and those are also available. I'm not here to sell books, Ralph.
Okay.
But I just want people to know where they can get more if they're interested. There's also a website I can give you later on. But that's where my information comes from. The second thing I want them to know is I just want to tell your listeners, please don't believe anything I say.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because I'm not here to convince anybody that what I have to say is true. I'm not here to cram any ideas down anybody's throat. I'm just here to give out the information I have. I think it's critical. I think it's real, of course, or I wouldn't be doing this. But I don't want to force anybody to believe it. If 10 or 20% of it makes sense to them, great. I'll be happy with that.
Well, I love that approach. It reminds me of what the Buddha taught, that if this makes sense to you, accept it, and if not, God bless you, go your way.
Yeah, I just ask that listeners to have an open mind. And that's a little bit harder than people think because we've all grown up with our belief system and our system of values, and it's kind of hard when we hear something that doesn't agree with that to just hang in there for a little bit and see if we can crack a new window open and just maybe listen without believing it or not believing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen. So that's what I ask from the listeners tonight, is to just check it out and see what you think.
Okay, and clearly, you know, our world is in a pickle, and it something's got to give.
Yeah,
and
well, there's a problem right now, Ralph, if you don't mind. There's a problem right now, and I'll tell you what the problem is. Our planet and our solar system is surrounded by 12 huge constellations. Now, I'm not talking about astrology, the astrology that's in magazines and newspapers for entertainment. I'm talking about astronomy, the movement of heavenly bodies throughout cosmos. These huge 12 constellations surrounding us, we periodically come into alignment with one of them, and then the next one, and then the next one. Takes about 2,250 years to move from alignment with one of these 12 constellations, which we call the zodiac, into alignment with the next constellation. And for the last 2,000-plus years, we have been in alignment with and receiving the tremendous energies these constellations give off with the great constellation Pisces. And, of course, the symbol for Pisces is the fish. So you have the fish appearing in a lot of spiritual teachings over the last 2,000 years. Jesus said, "I'll make you fishers of men." He fed the crowd with fish. There's two symbols for Christianity, the cross and the fish. Most Christians can't tell you why the fish, but it's because Jesus came as the teacher to inaugurate the age of Pisces. Every 2,000 years, historically, we've gotten a teacher to inaugurate and bring the teachings for that age. You know, more shall be revealed. Humanity grows and evolves, and then we're ready for newer teachings. Well, we're now moving out of the influence of Pisces. Since 1725, we started moving out of 1625, I beg your pardon. We started moving out of the influence of Piscean energy and into the influence of the next constellation, which is Aquarius. In 1675, we started receiving the energies from Aquarius. Well, Ralph, right now we're halfway between the two. And whenever we've got these crossing energies coming in, changing from one age to another age, we say we're in the age of whatever constellation we're in alignment with. Whenever we're receiving both, tremendous chaos happens on the planet.
Okay.
And that's exactly what we're experiencing right now, Ralph.
Yes. Yes, it's almost like, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And I look at the world as it is right now, and it just seems like we're a world full of addicts. And people are addicted to money, to power, and it just seems that we're not really being ruled by our best interests, by our higher minds.
Absolutely. Most philosophies say that humanity is made up of four aspects,
mm-hmm.
physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And I happen to agree with that idea, and that happens to be the direction of evolution of humanity. First, we were animal man.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have much of anything except the instincts of animals. Then we got emotions, and we started to get feelings. And then we got the germ of a mind, and we started to be able to think a little bit.
Yeah.
And we started to rise above the animal kingdom with our thinking ability. And then, of course, spiritual comes after that. Well, we have been, and most of humanity right now is wrapped up in the physical and emotional aspects of our beings. We let feelings determine, we make a lot of decisions based on feelings. And then, of course, feelings are temporary. So when they change, we go, oh, why did I do that? How am I going to make that right? You know?
Right.
So that the next step for humanity is to move into the realms of intellect and spirit. And that's where we're going. We're going to start making decisions from our mind instead of from our feelings. You know, I happen to be familiar with one of your speakers, Father Martin. And Father Martin said that addiction is letting your feelings over intellect, feelings over the mind, and run your life. And he said recovery, AA, is letting your mind rule over your feelings and letting your mind run your life. And I agree, happen to agree with that 100%.
Okay, and that's basically the way I see things here on a global level. You know, we've just been so caught up in our feelings, and the mind has not really had much of a chance to have a role in things.
Yes, and that's where we're headed. We're headed towards letting our intellect start to rule our lives and start to make our decisions based on our intellect. Now, the mind connects to the soul. There's a connection there, and that's why the mind is so important in humanity, because there's a connection to the soul. And so the mind interprets what the soul has to say. So if we want to know what God's will is, we need to go to our mind to see what it's interpreting from our soul. Well, the soul says it wants me to serve. Oh, okay, well then it's the mind that told me that. So now I need to look for ways to serve. Well, there's a million ways to serve. Just pick one. You know, there's all kinds of needs of humanity out there. And so service is going to be one of the things that's going to pull humanity up out of the muck and mire that we're in right now, Ralph. Service is going to be one of the biggest aspects.
Right.
When a person gets in touch with their soul, they seek to serve.
Okay, that's beautiful. Yeah, and that's really at the basis of every major religion, too, is
absolutely
serve God by serving your fellow human being.
Exactly. Serve God by serving others. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Every major religion has that golden rule in it as a major principle. And there's a reason for that, and that's because we need to be serving others more. The answer to the problem, you ask me a question coming in, I haven't answered yet. How are we going to get out of this mess?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have some help. And that's the biggest thing I want to share. But the bottom line answer that the helpers are going to help us realize is sharing. That's something we have not done. We've tried everything else but sharing. The answer is to take an inventory of every country's excesses.
Mm-hmm.
We all produce products. Every country produces something. Many countries produce many things, like the United States. And what first needs to happen through an independent agency, perhaps an agency of the United Nations, it's built for this purpose, would be to get an inventory from every nation of what it produces and what it has in excess, what it produces beyond its needs. Then we take that inventory and then through this independent agency share the excesses with countries who need what we have an excess of. And so it's not, the sharing will get personal, but nobody's going to force individuals to share their life's earnings or anything like that. We're not talking about that kind of sharing. We're talking about nations sharing with each other so that the want and the needs, right now as you and I speak, about every 9 seconds someone dies of starvation or starvation-related illness somewhere in the world, mostly children. And yet there's a 12% per capita surplus of food in the world. It's not getting distributed.
No.
This kind of sharing will solve that problem. All of a sudden, we've always said there will always be the poor. No, doesn't have to be. We've got enough. It's just not getting shared. In some nations, the dictators are taking it all and not giving it to their people. In other nations, they're just not getting any at all. So it's about helping people become self-sufficient and about sharing the excess. Once nations start to share, people and groups will start to share. Aquarius, the two primary energies of Aquarius that we're receiving now and that will become prominent in life on the planet, are synthesis and cooperation. So the rules for living successfully on the planet are changing, Ralph. They're changing from competition to cooperation. But nobody's noticed yet. And so we're still in a competitive world, right?
Right.
So we need somebody to wake us up. And that person is here now, walking on the planet, giving interviews on TV in different countries around the world as an ordinary man, waiting for people to recognize him as being a superior being. In fact, he's a perfected human being. And his personal name is Maitreya. He's the world teacher. He's the teacher for the age of Aquarius, just as Jesus and the Buddha were the teachers for the age of Pisces. Buddha taught the wisdom of God. Jesus taught the love of God. Maitreya, the world teacher, comes to teach the next revelation for humanity, the will of God. Humanity, he says, humanity is now ready to start doing God's will. So it's time to teach humanity God's will. So he comes to teach the will of God and the power behind that will.
Okay.
And that's going to change everything.
Yeah, and I can see where it's taken humanity this long to get up to this point.
Yes. We haven't done a very good job of applying Jesus' teaching of love, have we?
No, not really. Not yet.
No, but we remember it, you know, and we're aware of it. And we're going to become more aware of it and the service aspect of that love in this next 2,000 years.
Yeah.
So the Maitreya comes from this kingdom of masters. We call it the spiritual hierarchy, the kingdom of souls. They're called the lords of compassion, the custodians of the ageless wisdom. There are many names for these great beings. There are, in fact, 63 human beings who have gone through human evolution ahead of us and become perfected human beings, or what we call masters of the wisdom. They're called masters not because they're masters over us, Ralph, but because they're masters over themselves. And
yes.
So these are great beings like Confucius, Zoroaster, Krishna, Buddha, Muhammad, Jesus, Joan of Arc, St. John, Paul, Ringo. No, not Ringo.
Not Ringo?
I was kidding. But these are great beings that have gone through the evolution of humanity and become permanent, perfected spiritual beings.
Yes.
And stuck with planet Earth. They've been the inspiration for humanity behind the scenes for eons. Well, they're coming forward. Part of their evolution is to once again take human physical bodies and walk among us and teach us. And they're coming back with their leader coming first. And the leader is Maitreya, the world teacher for this period of time. The next 2,000 years, there'll be another world teacher. Christians will know him by name. He's St. John. John the Beloved is going to be the world teacher for the next age. But this age, it's Maitreya. And he is working very closely with Jesus in particular, because Jesus is here now too. Jesus is living in a physical body outside Rome. Now, I told your listeners I'm going to say some stuff. It's going to blow their minds, so hang in there. Jesus is in a physical body. He's living outside of Rome. The Pope and a couple cardinals around the Pope know he's here. But they've been asked not to say anything because one of the great rules of our universe is free will.
Yes.
And they are not going to infringe our free will. Maitreya is not going to come and say, I'm the teacher for the age, listen up, because I'm going to tell you how to fix this stuff. Pay attention. He's not going to do that. He's going to wait until we recognize him and as being special. And that's happening through these TV interviews he's doing around the world. He's done 29 interviews in the United States. I didn't see any of them. His U.S. interviews, he was part of a panel of people that were being interviewed. Then he's done individual interviews. He did 14 interviews on Mexican television. He did 41 interviews on Brazilian television. He's given 51 interviews on Russian television, some as an individual and some as part of a panel. Mm-hmm. And now he's moved to China and he's doing interviews on China. And he's going to keep doing this until the media representing humanity and the viewers say, wait a minute, you know way too much to be an ordinary person. Who are you really?
Okay.
Who are you really? And when we demand to know who he is, then he can come forward and talk to humanity all at one time, which he's going to do, on satellite and radio connections. That's what they're up there for. All these satellites are up there for this event. They're up there for this great event. He says it will be my day of declaration when I declare who I am to you. And they're not up there for World Cup soccer. They're up there for this event. And he's going to come forward and appear on radio and television worldwide in a worldwide press conference. Everybody will know it's coming. People are going to say, there's a big press conference coming because he's going to tell us who he is. And then he will come forward and there will be this period of time. Nobody knows the date. Nobody knows how long he'll speak. My best information is that it will be within a year and a half.
Okay, so relatively soon.
Oh, yes. That he will appear on television, and I'll tell your listeners three ways they'll know it's him. Number one, they will see his face on TV, but his lips won't move. You will hear his words in your head telepathically in whatever our language is. Whatever our primary language is, that's how we'll hear him all around the world. So the first way they'll know is that it'll be funny because he'll be looking at them, but he won't be saying anything yet. They'll be hearing his words in their head telepathically. That's the first way you'll know it's him.
Okay.
The second way you'll know it's him is because while he's speaking, for however long he's speaking, you will feel the love of God in your heart like you have never felt it before. He embodies the love of God. He's in a body that he built. It's indestructible. He will be with us, the center of humanity, for the next 2,000 years. He doesn't need to eat or sleep or any of that. He just works all the time. You will feel the love of God in your heart like you have never felt it before. Trust the love of God. People are worried about the Antichrist. The Antichrist can't do that. He cannot do the love of God. Trust it. He says, you will feel it as if I physically embrace you. That's how powerfully. A lot of people will be crying, Ralph, and I'll probably be one of them. The third way your listeners will know that this is the teacher for this age to come to help us and give us some suggestions, not going to tell us what to do, not going to wave a magic wand to make everything all right. We made the mess. We have to clean it up.
Okay.
And he's going to make some suggestions. The third way your listeners will know it's him is because when he's done speaking to humanity, people will be walking on tiptoe. It'll be so sacred. People won't want to disturb the air. It'll be like that for 2 or 3 days. But the third way they'll know it's him is that there will be media reports from around the world that while he was speaking, hundreds of thousands of people were miraculously healed around the world. And those are the three ways that people will know this is the world teacher. He's got lots of suggestions for us. We can either follow them or not. Some people are going to respond, and some people aren't. Some people are going to go, Antichrist, Antichrist, look out, look out.
Mm-hmm.
And other people are going to say, this guy's full of beans. Forget it.
Right.
Forget it. It's a trick. Don't believe it. Don't get sucked into it. So he said, he said this in what writings was it? I can't remember. But it was writings he did around the turn of the century. He said, there was a time when 10 true people could save the world. There was a time when 10,000 could not. I will call upon 1 billion. Benjamin Krem is in contact with one of the 63 masters of the wisdom. He was trained to be in contact with them pretty much all the time if he wants to be. And he asked his master, he said, does Maitreya have his 1 billion yet? And Benjamin Krem's master said, there are 1.8 billion people on the planet who will respond to Maitreya when he comes forward. Well, that's all we need. 1.8 billion is plenty to get the ball rolling. That's a critical mass,
okay.
Way over a critical mass, actually. And so people will start to respond to his suggestions. His first four priorities, Ralph, are going to be food for everybody, shelter for everybody, education for everybody, and food and clothing for everybody. Basic, basic rights of humanity, food, shelter, clothing, and an education, not an education for a job, education along the lines of your interests, whatever they are. Those are the first four priorities, very plain stuff, nothing religious about this. He says if you're in a religion and it's working for you, great. If you're not, I come for you too.
Okay, so this is kind of like wisdom material, stuff that is found in every major religion, but not like a, well, what the fundamentalists would call a one false religion serving the Antichrist.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
He said he does not come to establish a religion. Of course, what do we do when we get a great teacher? we establish a religion. So, so don't. I'm not going to kid you. One eventually, we're going to start one eventually, and it'll be some kind of world religion that will include all the other religions. It'll be one of those. See, the energies of Aquarius are synthesis and cooperation. Mm-hmm. Humanity is going to work through groups now. Groups are very powerful now. Aquarian energy only works through groups. The Piscean era got man out of the herd. Individuality was one of the main energies of Pisces. Individuality and dedication to an ideal. Those are the two primary energies of Pisces. Well, individuality has brought man out of the herd. We stand now, the me generation. We stand as strong individuals. Well, the goal of the Aquarian cooperative and synthesis energies is to take those individuals now and put them at the service of the group being humanity. So the individuals, the next step in evolution, now that we've become individuals, is for us to serve people with that individuality, to use it to serve others. And so, and then the other energy of Pisces, dedication to an ideal, it was dedication to an ideal that saved the world. Was dedication to the ideal of freedom that saved the world in World War I and World War II. It saved the planet because people were dedicated to the ideal of freedom. And that those people that were here at that time were here to solve that problem, to save the world.
Yes.
And they did it through dedication to freedom and that ideal. Well, the problem is now everybody's got their own ideals, and it has caused tremendous separation on this planet. Just in the Christian religion alone, I think there's something like 200 different religions. You know, there's the Mormons and the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Lutherans, and, you know, you go on and on, all these Christian groups.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, separation is just has become a major problem on this planet.
Yes.
So now it's time for synthesis and cooperation. Competition is going to be replaced by cooperation. People are going to be working together. Things are going to be done through groups. Benjamin Krems Master has gone so far as to say that even the President of the United States will no longer be one person. It will be a panel of wise people.
That would be a pleasure to see.
Wouldn't it?
That sure would. Yes.
I mean, it's too much for one person. We see them age, almost die during their time in office.
Yeah, within 4 years, gray hair.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, so it just makes sense. It will be a panel of wise people. He even went so far to say if Jimmy Carter is alive at the time of that conversion, that he will be on that panel.
Okay. Well, I think you would have a definite home there.
I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, that is. That is.
So that's where we're at. We're coming into the age of Aquarius now, and it's time for us to wake up and notice that. And the teacher, the world teacher, is going to help us. He help us see that. We're going to get a wake-up call because we need one. See, right now, money is God. You mentioned it right at the beginning. You said greed.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right, Ralph. Money is God. Just try and get justice without money. There's almost no place you can do it.
No, you have to buy it almost.
Yeah, justice is one of the great human rights. Mm-hmm. Freedom and justice and equality, you know, and yet America, we have lots of freedom, but not a lot of justice.
Yes.
The socialistic countries have a lot of justice, but not a lot of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
What we need is to marry the two. And the symbol for that, the Ageless Wisdom says the symbol for that is the reuniting of East and West Germany and East and West Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
That's the symbol for the unification of socialism and justice and freedom. Justice and freedom coming together. And that's the model for the kind of governments that different countries will be getting. There will be no world government. People don't have to worry about that. Every nation has its own personality, and it contributes to the whole. So nations are important to the future of humanity, separate nations. There'll be no world government. Every nation will have its own government, but they'll be cooperating. What a change.
Oh, that will be. And now you're addressing a fear that, you know, I've heard in fundamentalist circles.
Of course.
You know, there will be a great deceiver, the Antichrist, who will establish a one-world government, one-world religion, and all that. And now what you're saying is that it won't be that.
No, it's, no, that My information is that's not in the offing at all. That's not part of the plan at all.
Okay.
We have free will. The masters are not going to come and say, you've got to do this, or you've got to join this, or that's not how they work. They just let you decide. They say, well, here's one side of the point of view. And Maitreya is going to do this, as I understand it, on the day of declaration. He's going to say, you can go this way,
mm-hmm.
and if you do that, humanity is done. This
right.
planet is done. You're killing it, and you're going to continue to kill it, and it's going to die. And the species living on it are going to die, including humanity. And if you don't stop war, because now we have nuclear weapons, enough to end all life on this planet.
Yeah.
If you don't stop it, you will die. Or you can go this way. You can help feed each other, and you can serve each other, and you can help take care of each other, and you can live a glorious, mm-hmm. unbelievably brilliant. I'm told he's going to give us a glimpse of the brilliant future which we have in store for us. One of God's great laws is the law of, it's not balance, it's equilibrium. And what it means is that however bad it's been, that's how good it's going to get. So we have a brilliant, wonderful, glorious future ahead of us. He said, I see your choice, and I am glad. So he knows what we're going to decide ultimately. But we have free will. That's how I started this conversation. We have free will, and that's important. They're not going to force us to do anything. They're going to give us choices and say, choose, and then go see what the results of your choices are. We're not going to tell you. They're not going to tell us what to do. So that whole thing about they're going to dictate terms and they're going to rule the world and it's going to be one government and one religion and all, not going to happen. Not going to happen. As a matter of fact, they're coming to help the institutions that we built thrive again. I'll give an example. Jesus is here. His job is to get the Christian church back on track. That's what I've been told. To get the Christian church back on track. Ralph, there will be no more popes. This is the last pope. Jesus will take his rightful place at the head of the Christian church in St. Paul's, in St. Peter's seat, at the head of the Christian church. That's his rightful place, and he has come back to take that and to straighten out the Christian church. He's going to put the life back into it. He's going to correct some of the improper teachings. And there are masters who are going to do that with every major religion in the world. They're going to thrive again. They're not going to shut them down. They're going to help them thrive.
Yes, and realize their full potential, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and for people who don't have a religion, they don't need their religion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need somebody to talk to God for you. You can talk to God directly, you know.
Right.
And so they're going to tell us things like that. And they're going to show us ways through, like prayer and meditation, how to establish a contact with the spiritual kingdom. You know, prayer is sending spiritual energy to the spiritual kingdom. Meditation is allowing spiritual energy to be sent to you from the spiritual kingdom. So prayer and meditation complete the cycle of communication between humanity and the spiritual universe.
Yeah.
And that's why they're always mentioned together, prayer and meditation, because one goes out and one comes in.
All right.
And then they're going to teach us how to use those tools, whether we have a religion or not.
Yes, and you don't have to have a religion to practice that prayer and meditation.
Absolutely not.
Sending energy out and receiving it right back in.
Yes. You know, the 911 prayer, help! That's a prayer. That's a legitimate prayer. The masters respond to that. By the way, whenever angels appear, there are angels. But they're not part of the human kingdom. They don't look after us. They have their own kingdom. They're like the animal kingdom, only it's the angelic kingdom. And it has its own purposes. And so there are angels, but we don't have like a guardian angel. The angels that people see, like when they're laying sick at the foot of their bed, they see an angel. It's never an angel. It's a master. It's one of the 63 masters. They come looking like angels because they don't want to scare us. They know we understand what an angel is. So they come looking like an angel, and then we're not afraid. But whenever anybody has an angel appear to them, it was one of the masters that physically appeared to them. They do it all the time. They're always helping us and inspiring us. They love us totally. And you know what? They're never judging us. Never, ever. You know why? Because they did everything we're doing. They made all the mistakes we made. They went through human evolution ahead of us. They know exactly what it's like to have a crisis of conscience or to hurt somebody or to... They know what that's like because they did it. They did it, and they went through evolution ahead of us and became the next kingdom. Every kingdom feeds the kingdom above it. The mineral kingdom feeds the plant kingdom. The plant kingdom feeds the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom feeds the human kingdom. The human kingdom feeds the spiritual kingdom. That's how it's set up.
And it's all
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so these masters are human beings, just more fully evolved.
Yes.
That have just
perfected
gone,
human beings.
Perfected, right.
Yes.
And they've walked our path, know our ways, and they're here to help.
That's why they love us so much. That's why they're so quick to help, because they've been there. They know what it's like to need help. Often, this happens to people a lot, and there's a magazine I'll tell you about later called Share International.
Mm-hmm.
People write into Share International, and they write these experiences in. But even people that don't write it, and it happens a lot, their car will break down in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, and they don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, a man and a woman drive up in a car, or a guy drives up, or a CHP drives up, or somebody shows up, a California Highway Patrol, shows up to help them. Half the time, it was a master that went to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And just showed up. They can appear however they want to appear because they're masters. They're masters over all of the energies of the planet, like gravity and all that kind of stuff. They don't worry about that stuff. They can appear to you as however they want. They often appear as an older man or as an African American or an Asian American or a child or a woman or a man. They can appear poor, homeless. They appear as homeless people a lot.
Mm-hmm.
To people. And the masters do that. When we need help, they show up. I'll tell you, people write to Benjamin Krem, they write their experiences, and then he asks his master, he says, was this one of the masters or not? And if it was, he publishes the letter in a magazine, a monthly magazine called Share International. It has no advertising in it. People can just go online and go into Share International, and they'll find the magazine, and they can subscribe to it. It's sold basically at cost. It's like $40 a year or something. And it has these letters in there. They're really interesting to read. A friend of mine was in a little Volkswagen, and believe it or not, he had an accident with a semi-truck.
Oh, no.
And the semi-truck was going down the freeway at the time of the accident. And he yelled, help Maitreya, because he knows about Maitreya. He's a friend of mine. And he just said that, but even if he just said help, he would have gotten help. His car never tipped over. It skidded along the freeway. Nobody ever hit it. It came to rest on the shoulder of the freeway. The truck driver stopped and got out. And just then, the California Highway Patrolman pulled up. They asked if he was okay. He asked what happened. My friend Tony told him. And he walked around Tony's car. And Tony said, I had this strange feeling that he was fixing my car as he walked around it. And he said goodbye. And he got in his car. It worked. And he drove home. Well, he couldn't get this guy out of his mind. That's one of the ways you know you've talked to a master. It's an ordinary circumstance, but you can't get him out of your mind.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Oh, everybody, a lot of your listeners will have seen masters. It happens a lot, especially now that they're almost coming forward. And he wrote to Benjamin Krem, and he said, "Was that someone special, that highway patrolman?" He said, "The highway patrolman was the Master Jesus. And he came to help him." And he said, yes, indeed, he did fix your car so it would continue to run.
Okay.
And those kinds of things, they do this kind of stuff and we don't know it. Well, they're doing it a lot now. They're appearing as a homeless person. If you've seen a homeless person and you can't get them out of your mind, you probably saw a master. They're helping us realize that everybody is sacred. No matter what we look like, no matter what race we are, how old we are, how much money we have, we're all sacred. They're helping us realize that. They always come to teach a lesson. For example, they'll smoke a lot around somebody that hates people that smoke. You know? Don't hate
anybody.
Them, they're sacred, you know?
Oh, okay, even people who smoke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or drink a lot or smell like alcohol around people who can't stand alcohol.
Okay.
You know? it's the idea that no matter what we look like or smell like or anything, we're all sacred. Don't hate anybody. Make time for everybody, you know, that kind of thing.
And that's a definite lesson we need to get through our heads.
That's what's coming. They're going to be teaching this. Yeah, they're going to be walking among us. There's going to be a master who's going to be helping us with the arts. There's going to be and music and so on. There's going to be a master helping us with healthcare, a master helping us with education. See, all these institutions that we have built with Piscean energy are collapsing. No matter what we do, Ralph, we can't fix them. Well, that's because they were built with Piscean energy, and Piscean energy is being withdrawn. They can't do anything but collapse because they no longer serve humanity. They need to be rebuilt with the energies of cooperation and synthesis, and then these great institutions will once again serve humanity beautifully. But they need to be rebuilt with those kinds of energies and with that kind of spirit and that kind of intention, the intention of cooperation and service and synthesis. And then they will serve us again, but right now, no matter what we do, they're going to continue collapsing. Because the energy is being withdrawn. They can't do anything but collapse.
Yeah, and we just have to let go, it sounds like. Lovingly let it go and rebuild.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We need to detach.
Detach, yes.
Yeah. That passage that says acceptance is the answer to all my problems today, you could just put the word detachment in there. It's the same thing. Just accept it. Just detach from it. Don't get connected to it. Don't get invested in it. You know, just work with it. Work with what's there, and it will all work out okay. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Don't hate it. Just work with it. Yeah.
Right.
That's what they're going to teach. You know, the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous is a famous book among your group. And that's said to be inspired, the Ageless Wisdom says it was inspired by the Master Jesus. I don't doubt it for a second.
No, I don't either. There's a lot of wisdom in there. And, very familiar.
I mean,
just with every religion I'm familiar with just is very highly compatible with that.
Yes, isn't that great?
That's beautiful.
It's so generic. It's so generically spiritual that anybody can work with it.
Mm.
Well, that's the way the masters are going to be. You got it right there. That's it.
Okay.
That's the way the future is going to be. I mean, it's going to be so marvelous.
Now, Dick, what can we do to help?
What can we do to help? What can you do now that you've heard this and maybe think 10 or 20% of it makes some sense? Well, there's lots of things we can do to help. One of the things we can do is write letters, write emails, send texts to our representatives, and promote things like sharing, promote things that help other people, like Social Security and Medicare, for example. Those are safety nets for people who don't work anymore and don't have any much of an income at all and need help. Well, that's what we need to do around the world. And so we can encourage that kind of thinking. We can march in the streets. Marching in the streets, anything you do with a group is going to be very, very powerful because Aquarian energy only works through groups. Look at what they did over in the Middle East. They marched in the streets and they threw out the government.
Yes.
They marched in the streets for 2 weeks and the government resigned. That's how powerful group energy is right now, march in the streets.
All right.
There's a lot of people that are organizing that. Meditate. Find some kind of generic, plain vanilla meditation and meditate 15 minutes a day. That's all you have to do, 15 minutes. 15 minutes. And I'm not talking about reading some kind of reading and then thinking about it. That's not meditation. They call it meditation sometimes, but it's not. It's actually contemplation. Meditation is meditation. It's making contact with your soul. The purpose of any good meditation is to make contact with your soul. The Ageless Wisdom says you can picture your soul as a multi-pointed white light about 6 inches above the top of your head, connected by golden threads to your mind and your heart. Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful.
I love that. Yes, so I think that's what happened, for example, at Pentecost, is everybody saw everybody's soul. They saw a light above their heads. They were given the gift of seeing each other's souls. They were given the gift of telepathy. They understood each other. They didn't speak weird languages. They understood each other. They just thought each other. They were all from different regions, so they all spoke different dialects and different languages, but they all understood each other. They were given the gift that we're going to get on the Day of Declaration. We're going to get the gift of telepathy and the gift of being blessed with the Holy Spirit, with our souls blessed. And we're going to feel that love like we've never felt it before. It's going to be a worldwide Pentecostal experience. That's what it's going to be. It's and people are going to go, whoa, what was that?
Right.
Whoa. I don't know what that was, but I sure liked it.
Just feel but, it on what, a soul level.
And then somebody's going to say, be afraid of it. You know? Right. And, well, trust your own experience. Don't let other people tell you what to think. Think for yourself. Trust your experience. It's like, how can you prove there's a God? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
But I know. Well, how do you know? I know because I know because I know. Well, how do you know? Because I've experienced God in my life. That's ultimately how you know there's a God. You've experienced God in your life. Well, all I'm telling people is when the Day of Declaration happens, just take the experience for whatever it is for you. Don't let anybody tell you what it is. Not me, not anybody else. Don't let anybody tell you what it is. Just have your own experience. And go with that.
Right.
That's yeah. all. You know, use your free will. Don't let people tell you what to think or believe. We shouldn't be doing that anyway, right?
That's right. Just
yeah.
check it out
yeah.
for yourself.
Everybody says there's one way. No, there isn't. There's many paths to God. Many paths to God. And they all come from a little different angle, and they all have a little different approach, but they all end up in the same place. One God, many names.
Yeah, how can the infinite be condensed in just one way?
How beautiful.
Yeah, it's impossible. Yes.
It is. Yeah.
Oh,
so peace, justice, sharing, and freedom. Those are the things the world teacher is going to talk about. That's the future of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a critical mass ready to respond when he starts to make suggestions. One of the things that's going to happen, Ralph, before he comes forward, one of the things that's going to happen is a worldwide stock market collapse.
Okay.
Because God is money. Money is God right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, when money is withdrawn, people and even people running countries are going to look around and say, well, what do we do now? That would be a perfect time for a teacher to step forward and say, I have some ideas.
Yes.
Maybe the real God can take his rightful place at the head of society now instead of money.
Yeah, get rid of the God of money and find the true God.
Well, yeah, money is going to basically start to disappear. It's going to be, it's going to lose its importance in the world. That's one of the things that's got to happen, and it won't be the masters doing it. It'll be us through our own greed, making the financial system not work anymore.
Boy.
You know, free enterprise can only work for so long. Because there can only be so much profit, and then it starts to kick back on itself.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what's going to happen.
Okay, so we have to look forward to a worldwide economic collapse.
Yes.
And then the Day of Revelation, or...
Day of Declaration.
Declaration, yes.
Declaration where Maitreya will come forward, and then once he comes forward, other masters will come forward. You will see, for example, Christians will see Jesus and Maitreya standing side by side on television.
Okay.
And Maitreya will say, this is my beloved brother Jesus, whom I adore. And Jesus will say, this is my beloved brother Maitreya, whom I'm working very closely with. And other masters. And Maitreya will travel to every country in the world and speak publicly. Jesus will come to many countries and speak publicly. You'll be able to go to Dodger Stadium and see Jesus speak. And they won't. Nobody can kill him, so don't worry about that. They can't be killed, you know. And so the masters will be walking among us making suggestions. They'll be available for – life is going to change so fast in so many ways. And in other ways that, you know, the real conservative religious people from every major religion, they're all going to react the same way. They're all going to hold on for dear life to prevent change. And so are the financial conservatives. They're going to hold on for dear life. And the corporate executives are going to hold on for dear life. But their time is done. The time of the George Bushes, the Piscean thinking, is over. They have no power in the world anymore. People have the power. We common folks like you and I, Ralph, are going to run the world. Because it's going to get to the point where, very quickly, where if our representatives don't do what we want them to do, we're going to kick them out. And they're going to know that. And they're going to start responding to the needs of the people. You know, I don't know one American who wants war.
Right.
When you get right down to it, I know a lot of conservative people who believe in guns and stuff, but they don't want war.
Oh, no.
They don't want people dying.
Yeah.
But yet our government is doing it.
And it's something that we've been sold.
Absolutely.
Yeah, sold on.
The Pentagon is one is the Pentagon and the IRS. Look out.
Hmm.
Those are institutions that are in trouble.
All right. Well, Dick, we're getting close to the end of our time.
May I get the website?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I'm sorry I interrupted you, Ralph. I apologize.
No, go ahead and give the website.
Okay. For people who'd like more information about this and about some of the miracles that are happening around the world, there are bleeding statues. There are miracles in every major religion of the world. Maitreya said, those who seek signs will find them. If you want to see some of these incredible miracles, the media doesn't know what to do with them. So they don't get on the air a lot. But you'll see them on our website and lots of other information. I'm a volunteer for SHARE International. The website is www.share-international, all spelled out, .org. Don't go to .com. You'll get something weird. www.share-international.org. Go there. It's an old website. It looks old, but we're updating it. But don't worry about that. There's tons of information. Just start clicking away. There's interviews in there. There's all kinds of great information in there. If you're interested in a group meditation that's free of charge and that is being done around the world now by groups, a group is three or more people in their homes. You want more information on that, go to this website, www.transmissionmeditation.org, transmissionmeditation.org. The masters are sending energy to us. It goes through our chakras and then out into the world. They send all their energies through our chakras, the chakras of these groups, and it steps down the energy so it's more easily absorbed by humanity, the energies of peace, equilibrium, whatever is needed. So it's a wonderful meditation. You can do it free of charge in groups. I have a group. We do it once a week for an hour and a half. But you can start out shorter than that. So those are two websites that your listeners can go to, Ralph.
All right. Well, Dick, I want to thank you for the time. And I sense we haven't even gotten to the half of it, actually.
No, we really haven't.
No, would you be interested in doing a second interview?
I would love to come back and talk more. By the way,
yes.
There are some friends who are among us now on a spiritual mission, and those are the space people. The space people are here, they're real, and they're here on a spiritual mission because of what we've done to the planet, and they are helping us. And if you ever want to talk about that, the spiritual mission of the UFOs, I'd be happy to talk about that too.
Okay. Maybe we can set that up with our second interview.
I would love it.
Okay, I would too. You are... interesting speaker to listen to and speak with, and gosh, I'm just on cloud nine just listening to you talk right now.
Well, I appreciate your open mind, Ralph. You're a wonderful host, and thank you so much for being so gracious.
Well, thank you, and Dick, I thank you again for being here, and just God bless, and we will definitely be back in touch again.
I'd love it. God bless you, Ralph.
Okay. Well, bye bye.
All right, that was our recorded interview with Dick Larson, and I do look forward to having Dick on the show again as a guest. I'm going to take a short break and play some music by Ya'elah, Each of Us.
Each of us has a name given by the mountain. Each of us has a name given by the sky. Each of us has a name given by our longing. Each of us has a name given when we die. How many names, how many places, how many times have we been here before? How many mothers, how many brothers, how many sisters have we been before? Each of us has a name given by our laughter. Each of us has a name given by a friend. Each of us has a name given at the sunrise. Each of us has a name given. of the sea. Sound of your heart, the sound of all time. Each of us has a name given by the season. Each of us has a name given by the day. Each of us has a name given for a reason. Each of us has a name more than we can.
Today's recorded interview with Dick Larson, I believe I made the comment that if even 10% of what Mr. Larson says is true, then we have a wonderful future to look forward to. And Dick got into a lot of pretty heavy stuff, a lot of stuff which seems utterly fantastic. But he also gives us a time period, about 1 to 1.5 years. And a lot of these things that he says, talked about in today's interview, should come about. So that gives us a relative time frame for some of the more fantastic claims. But I'd like to take the last few minutes of today's broadcast to speak to the 10% to 20% of the interview that I agree wholeheartedly with. And that is the idea, the reality, that we have created a mess in this world. And it is up to us to correct this mess, to fix this mess. We broke the world, and now it's up to us to clean it up. Jesus, when Jesus came some 2,000 years ago, taught a way of love, taught a way of compassion. Do unto others as you would want others to do unto you. Essentially saying that while you may not be your brother's keeper, you are expected to be your brother's helper. And whatsoever you do to the least individual on this world, you do to God. You do to the divine source. And we have not been mindful the last 2,000 years about our need to help our fellow human beings, to take care of the planet of which we are a part. And instead, we have chose to go down the road, the pathway of greed, of just looking at what is in it for me. What can I do to enrich myself and to hell with everybody else? And that's not a proper attitude. That's not what Jesus preached 2,000 years ago. It's not what the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches today. What we are expected to do, and this is my take on things, is that we are supposed to allow ourselves to be ruled by compassion, by unconditional love. We are supposed to cultivate compassion and love in our lifestyle, in our day-to-day living. And where we see somebody who is disadvantaged, where we see somebody who needs help, we are supposed to do whatever we can to reach out and help. And, of course, we have to make a rational decision as to what the best way to help might be. You know, if you come across somebody that needs $1,000 in aid and all you have is $5 in your pocket, you know, you're not going to write a check for $1,000 and say, well, there you go. No, you have to do what you can do. And sometimes that means maybe just giving a handful of change to a homeless person on the street. Or sometimes that can mean a word of encouragement, a word of hey, you're not alone. You know, other people are thinking of you. And I think one thing that Dick Larson brings out very beautifully in the recorded interview that we just played is the idea of teamwork, that idea of cooperation and synthesis. A lot of times when we go through this world and we see people who are in need, people who definitely need help, you know, we feel powerless to do anything about it. We may find a friend on Facebook that needs $800 fast, or else they're going to be kicked out of their home. Or we may have friends that are reaching out saying, look, I'm about to be kicked out of my home. I need help. And, God, I know so many people who are in that boat. I mean, it's really just incredible. The number of people still, after the crash of 2008, the number of people still that are facing eviction because of predatory loans that were all the rage just about, God, 10 years ago. But, you know, when we see people like that, and we ourselves don't have the finances, material resources to help, we do have the resources to network, to go to our other friends, to go to other agencies, other institutions, and saying, hey, look, I know this person that's in bad shape. Can you help? You know, and we can network on social media. We can network through the traditional ways of going through different institutions like Salvation Army or Habitat for Humanity or what have you. And if we open up our eyes, we can see that we are not as helpless as we tend to think we are. We have so many resources at our command. Looking at the world as it is, you know, with talk of another economic collapse, Dick Larson spoke about this coming in about another year and a half. I watched Tom Hartman on Free Speech TV. He's talking about much the same thing, with much the same timetable going on. He doesn't talk about Buddha Maitreya, but he does talk about the crash of 2016 and saying that, look, folks, we need to get ready for this. This is on the horizon. And, you know, throughout the course of my lifetime, we have seen so many different economic collapses and recessions. The idea of a full-out depression, again, similar to the one that happened in 1929, that doesn't surprise me at all. I think it's just a matter of time. But do we choose to focus on the negative, or do we choose to have hope? When a system is no longer able to handle the load that's placed on it, it seems to me we have a couple of options. We can try to brace up that broken system and try to put a Band-Aid on it and strengthen it to carry the added load that we've placed upon it. Or, and this is the more painful option, we can allow that system to collapse. And then once it collapses, try to build a better system out of the dust and the ashes of that collapse. And that's the way I see our current mess, our current world situation. Our world is on the verge of collapse. Financially, environmentally, socially, and we have structures that were perfectly good maybe 100 years ago, but which have served their purpose and I think need to be allowed to collapse. We hear people talk about institutions that are too big to fail because if they do fail, you know, we're in a pickle, a worldwide depression. Banks are called too big to fail. And I look at those same institutions and I think they're not too big to fail. They're kind of like cancers. They're too big to allow to grow anymore, or else the entire life blood of the organism of the world is going to be in jeopardy. So I think we see some of these institutions around us that are showing signs of strain, that are showing signs of collapse. And I think the best thing to do in a lot of these cases is just to detach with love, allow things to run their natural course, and then rebuild and rebuild, not out of the energy of greed and not out of the energy of fear, but rebuild out of the energy of love. We're told in Scripture that there is a time for everything. For everything there is a time, there is a season. A time to tear down, a time to rebuild. And I get a sense just intuitively that we are in a time, not of necessarily where we have to tear down institutions, but we are at a time, a crossroads, where we need to allow certain institutions to collapse. Not all of them, probably not all of them. But just allow those that no longer feel right, that are no longer functioning the way they should, allow those institutions to die, to collapse, so that they might be reborn again, resurrected. I heard people in Christian ministry talking about the Christian church in that way, seeing that the church is no longer thought of as being relevant in today's modern or postmodern age. There are so many different issues that the Christian church just doesn't seem to be willing to deal with at this point in time. And for those institutions that are not willing to deal with current issues, with current problems, you know, these folks, these theologians say it's time just to let this manifestation of the Christian church die, so that it might be resurrected anew with new life blood, with a closer understanding of the true mission of Jesus Christ and the mission that Jesus calls us to in this world. And there are so many different things that we can do. If you have the material resources, if you see somebody who is hungry, who is homeless, don't pass judgment on that person. I heard so many people talking about, you know, I saw a homeless guy on the street corner talking on a cell phone. So obviously, you know, he's begging for money, but he doesn't need the money because he has the money for a cell phone. So obviously he doesn't really need help. And I used to buy into thinking like that. And then I heard about a program where folks collect cell phones that people are throwing away, you know, the old obsolete cell phones, and just stuff that people get tired of, so they throw them away. They collect these old discarded cell phones, they recondition them, they put on a basic service plan, and then they give these phones out to the homeless so that they have access to, like, 911 calls, emergency, so that they can network with any friends, so that they can have a home phone number to where if they want to get a job, if they're trying to get a job and they don't have a home phone, well, hey, they got one in their pocket. So it's not up to us to judge just on outer appearances. If a homeless guy is talking on a cell phone, maybe he's arranging a job interview. It doesn't mean that he's trying to scam the public or that she's trying to scam the public. It's not up to us to pass judgment. What it is up to us to do is to share that energy of unconditional love that Jesus spoke of so beautifully 2,000 years ago. Love one another as I have loved you. And just as Jesus was prepared to lay down his life for the good of his followers, for the good of his friends, so too should we be prepared to lay down a significant portion of our life for the good of others, so that others may have a chance at a better life. Instead, what we tend to do and have tended to do over the past few decades that I've been around this world is that we think of ourselves. We amass riches for ourselves. We build up bank accounts. There's an interesting commercial about a guy that has a Lamborghini in his garage along with a bunch of books. And, you know, we amass private property for ourselves and only for ourselves and our families, but we don't see beyond that. We don't see the bigger picture, that if we are rich and we are happy and we are healthy and we are well-to-do, but our next-door neighbor and his neighbor and his neighbor and his neighbor and the whole society around us is in trouble, and people are going down the tubes, losing their homes, losing their life savings, that is going to impact us, no matter how well we try to insulate ourselves from the misery surrounding us in the outer world. That misery is going to impact us. And it just makes so much more sense to me to take what wealth we have and invest a portion of that in our fellow human being. Not invest in stocks and bonds, although that might be a good thing to do, especially if you're planning for retirement. But take a certain percentage of your wealth, and it can be any percentage you feel comfortable with, 5%, 10%, 15%, and just invest that in charitable giving, you know, whatever you can. Lately, I took $20 and decided to make a monthly gift of $20 to our area food pantry, because I know we live in an area which is radically economically depressed. We're out in southern Missouri, out in the sticks, so, I mean, we don't get much national attention. We don't get newspapers coming down to interview us, but, yeah, we're one of the poorer sections of the United States of America. And I'm living here, been living here for 20 years now, and, you know, we're blessed to have an income. And I decided to put my money where my mouth is and just invest a certain portion of our income each month into helping out the food bank and helping other people get a leg up in this world. Not a hand out, but a hand up. And that's the way I see things. That we have created a world based upon greed, in which I look out for my needs, and if I'm really good, I look out for the needs of my family, but it doesn't really extend out beyond that. What we need to do is take that attitude of looking out for yourself and your family and extend it outwards more than what we do now, and adopt the entire world as our family. Adopt your local community as your family. Look out at the people around you. If they're needing help and you are in a position to help, then help. And when you do that, remember that teaching of Jesus, that whatsoever you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, whether they be Christian or not. At the time that Jesus said that, he was not a Christian. He was a Jewish rabbi teaching a spiritual path, which later got turned into Christianity. But know that when you reach out to others and you help others, when someone is hungry and you give them food, when somebody is thirsty and you give them drink, when somebody is homeless and you give them shelter, when somebody is poorly clothed and you give them clothes, whatsoever you do to those people, you do to the Master, by whatever name you know him, her, he, she, or it. Whatsoever you do to the least, you do to the divine source, the Master. And so, I see the way out of our current problems as being, reaching out, joining together with other people that have the same attitude, that have the same mindset, that have the same mission at heart. We see a world that needs to be rebuilt, a world that is breaking down, a world that is already in many respects broken. And alone, isolated as separate individuals, there is only so much we can do. but by reaching out, by networking, by spending time in prayer and meditation, and by being mindful of what organizations and what corporations we support financially with our out-of-pocket dollars, we can make an impact. If we don't like the way somebody does business, if we hear that a certain corporation is not treating their workers well, and while at the same time the CEO is living like a king, we can withdraw support from that place. You know, people put a lot of emphasis on voting. Vote every 2 years, vote every 4 years. You can vote every single day with your pocketbook by looking at the places where you shop, looking at the places where you do business on a daily basis. And ask around, ask questions. How does the CEO live? How does the common worker live? And then asking yourself the question, is this a company that I keep? Is this an organization that I support? Or is this one of those organizations which would best be allowed to collapse because it no longer serves the greater good of humanity? And then make your decision and act on that decision. And it's just a simple thing to do. It sounds a little complicated because we have to do our homework. We have to dig into the places that we shop, the big corporations that we support, like Nestle's, Walmart, Papa John's Pizza, what have you, Pizza Hut, Burger King. You know, you can go on and on and on down the list. But yet, in this information age, you can Google this information on your computer and then just see what you find out. And then ask yourself the question, do I continue to support this institution, this corporation, or do I withhold my support and instead go elsewhere? Instead of going to the big pizza place, maybe I can find a little mom-and-pop pizzeria that's still in business. Or instead of the big chains, I can find a little mom-and-pop store that's still open. Or at the very least, you know, there are big chains, big corporations, which do actually look out for their fellow human being, that do support their lowest paid worker. There are institutions like Costco, where the CEO makes $500,000 a year, and the average employee makes about $17 an hour plus benefits. So, I mean, we don't have to just give up on the big chains and just eat nuts and twigs for the rest of our lives. You know, there are big guys out there that have this message at heart, this message of creating a better social order, this message of helping their fellow human beings and seeing their employees as valuable associates rather than just liabilities on a ledger sheet. So, in the end, I think it's up to us. We can look to guidance from other leaders, from other people, from folks that we accept as being spiritual masters, whether we can see them on this physical plane or not. You know, I get a lot of guidance from the Jesus that I was introduced to by reading the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus, that view of Jesus, is my master, is my teacher, is my guru. And his teachings are compatible with a great many other religious traditions because they are based in non-sectarian spiritual truth, not religiosity. And that's where I draw my support from. And if you draw your spiritual inspiration from Buddha Maitreya, or from Buddha, or from Krishna, or St. Francis, or any of a myriad other names that the divine source is known by and manifested through, then God bless you. You know, the infinite speaks to us in a variety of ways, and we who are trapped or stuck or find ourselves in the finite world, where our senses are limited, where our ability to comprehend is narrowed down considerably, we don't see the bigger picture. You know, we see just bits and pieces of the picture. And then we walk away thinking that our bits and pieces of the total picture are all that there are. And we make the mistake of what I call idolatry and calling our limited perspective the big picture. But as long as we recognize that we see only in part, we understand only in part, and that a greater day of revelation or a greater day of declaration is coming, when the whole will be imparted to us more fully, and accept our partial knowledge as for what it is, just partial knowledge, and constantly seek to open our eyes to see the bigger picture, then we open our hearts, we open our minds to the infinite possibilities and the infinite realities which are out there. I'm going to leave it at that, play my closing music, and encourage you to tune in this coming Saturday, in which we will be talking about the infinite nature of the divine, honoring the infinite in all of its myriad manifestations, and that will be this Saturday at 6 a.m., and look forward to seeing a lot of you folks at that time on the radio. Until then, I'm going to close by playing Good People by Celtic Reggae Revolution.
Salam alaikum. Alaikum salam.
Namaste.
Shalom.
From Alaska
to Australia, Jamaica to Japan, peace and love to every man and woman. Good people
in Japan,
good people
in Kazakhstan,
good people
in Ethiopia,
good people
in Pakistan,
good people
in Brazil,
good people
in Colombia,
good people
in Afghanistan.
La vida, y no pasa nada.